The purpose of this gathering this afternoon is for the minister to brief the media about what is going to be happening tomorrow.
A fleet review by the head of state, the president. This is an occasion that has come down through history. Held at convenient times, for instance, in the feudal period, the monarch would from time to time want to examine the fleet, the armed forces, and they would have to be displayed in a more or less similar fashion as what we will do with the fleet tomorrow. The whole thing was held as a very pompous, auspicious, showy business, but it had a far more important consideration than just to show off. It was intended to display the capacity of the relevant country to defend itself, especially on the high seas, in the case of countries like Great Britain and so on, the impact of which had was to assure the populace that the country was secured and well positioned to defend itself. But it also sent a message to potential enemies that if they were to attempt to attack such a country, they would find formidable resistance, and they'd find that country ready ready to defend itself. Now, a reviewing ship with the head of state on board will sail past the formation. There will be a formation, and then this ship will sail past the formation and receive the naval ceremonial marks of respect from each ship in the formation. This is a very colorful ceremonial event that is conducted with the precision, navigation, and timing, and shows off the Navy not only to the head of state but also to the people of the country. Tomorrow then, on the 5th of September, marks the auspicious occasion of the hosting of the Presidential Fleet Review by the South African Navy. During this Presidential Fleet Review, the South African Navy will display the rejuvenated and transformed fleet to the Commander-in-Chief and to the people of our country. After a record time, these new ships and submarines were integrated and operationalized into the South African Navy. That is to say, we are now ready for further instructions for deployment of these ships and submarines for the purpose for which they were purchased. And this event marks the culmination of almost a decade of hard work, dedication and commitment on the part of all the young men and women who crew our ships and submarines, and those who support them ashore, as well as those who lead the South African Navy. As I talk to you now, I'm mindful of the considerable transition which has been made since our last fleet review, which took place as part of the South African Navy 75th anniversary celebrations. On that occasion, the great icon of our democracy, former President Nelson Mandela, affirmed that, quote, the sea was a vital national interest, and that our country accepted the obligation to uphold the freedom of the seas and protect our interests through naval power. In this regard, the South African Navy has, over the last few years, made the transition from a navy whose inventory comprised relatively aging and obsolete hardware and systems, to a navy with a fleet of some of the most technologically advanced ships and submarines in the Southern Hemisphere. The new technologies inherent to the Mercury class frigates and Type 209 MOD South African submarines have dramatically altered not only the way in which we operate our fleet, but also the way in which we support, maintain, and sustain our inventory in order to ensure that ordered commitments are met to specification. Thus, whereas the last two decades have seen the South African Navy use its ships and submarines primarily to establish a presence at sea and to undertake limited sea control, we now enter an era which places upon us significantly different challenges and requires us to operate within a new dimension of maritime warfare. The considerable sea-keeping ability, long range and endurance of our recently acquired vessels means that the South African Navy is thus able, with the other navies of the region, to provide maritime defense both in our waters and abroad. Our regional reach thus includes all areas of the South African Exclusive Economic Zone, as well as the coasts of the Southern African Development Community and beyond. The ways and means by which the fleet executes its constitutional mandate have been irrevocably enhanced for the better. Never before has the South African Navy been better placed to support the objectives of government, and this allows South Africa to be respected as a sovereign state. The South African Navy has been engaged in operationalizing and testing the systems of these new ships and submarines. Over the past months, we have held a number of multinational exercises, first with the navies of India and Brazil during Exercise Ipsamar, and thereafter with the navies of Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay during Exercise Atlas Sur. These exercises have allowed our crews to fully extend themselves and the advanced technology on our highly recently acquired frigates and submarines, and in all regards, both our sailors and their vessels have performed superbly. This was perhaps most memorably demonstrated last year during Exercise Amazolo, where our fleet engaged with the forces of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, with our success being heralded by the media and other experts under the headlines, "The South African Navy Sub Sinks NATO Fleet." This was truly a proud day for all of us and demonstrated the commitment and passion of the men and women who chose to serve their country in the sphere of maritime defense. At this juncture, it must be said that in common with the rest of our country, continent, and indeed the world, daily we face the challenge of skills retention. We are, however, working 24 hours a day with all hands on deck to map new ways of appreciating this phenomena that embrace the principle of business unusual, and in so doing retain our scarce skills and expertise. In conclusion, the presidential fleet review is an affirmation that we, the South African Navy, are indeed, as President Mandela so aptly termed us, the maritime shield of the nation and the guardian of our seas," unquote. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the media, the responsibility of building South Africa and giving our people hope lies in our individual and collective responsibilities. And with all of us acting in unison, this dream will become a reality. I thank you. Now, I don't know, I was... I do assume that you may perhaps have been briefed by the Chief of the Navy about the program and so on. If not, I'm sure we'll be in a position to take to do something about that in the course of this of this conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. We will allow for a few questions or comments. Please, before posing your question, identify yourself and your organization and proceed to ask your question. Andre.
Andre Adan from SABC Radio. Minister, will all our new vessels be on show tomorrow? You know, in the light of a lot of media reports about lack of crews, submarines not being operational, I just wondered to what extent you intend tomorrow's exhibition to provide an answer to all those criticisms.
No, not all of them will be on show. Some of the other vessels naturally are busy with our national and international obligations, but most of them will be there. I think, to be more specific, one of our submarines will not. I think it's the SAS Mantis, which is awaiting spare parts, so we have to round that off. But that's just a question of spare parts to get it on the move. On the whole, most of our forces, of our ships, will be there.
And fully crewed?
Fully crewed, yes, indeed.
Ma'am. Minister Anna Majavu from Sowetan. I mean, Majavu, yes. Can you explain your statement that we're entering into an era in which we operate within a dimension of maritime warfare? I mean, what warfare are you talking about, and what evidence do you have that there's maritime warfare in the world?
Well, what we are trying to communicate is that as a result of advancement, the generation of ships and, that we are bringing in, carrying with it the technology it has, places us amongst the advanced nations of the world. I mean, the last time South Africa made a major acquisition of more or less a similar size would have been the early and middle years of the 60s. So to upgrade from that to the present places us in a completely new era. And if we were therefore to fight a war at this time, compared with what we had at that time, that's what I'm talking about. It's a you know, giant leap forward in terms of a big capacity. The things we can do now, compared with what we could do at that time as a country, light years ahead.
Andre. Minister, there have been a lot of reports recently about the Navy wanting to acquire new and different ships for closer inshore work and possibly also for major troop carrying abilities. Where are those plans? You know, where does the government stand on that?
No, it will be for some time before South Africa can have the need to acquire new ships. I think what might have been intended to communicate is that there are certain capabilities that we require, which were not necessary and cannot necessarily be dealt with sufficiently with just fighting ships. As you are now aware, South Africa is leading in the continent in terms of peacekeeping operations. And these peacekeeping operations tend to be of a lengthy engagement. And some of our forces, as you are now aware, in the continent of Africa alone, and this is a very big continent, a very long, from north to south, quite a long continent. Now, if you look at the missions we deployed in the Congo, in the Sudan, if and given the period that they have to stay there, we have to get to them the necessary supplies and backup. The further away your deployment, the more complicated, let me not say complicated, the more arduous the task of providing backup of rations, of additional fuel, and spare parts, and this kind of thing. Now that raises the question whether we, let me say, the question of locating those supplies as close to the deployment as possible. Something like a sea lift, which you could use, if not, you could use to load tanks if you need additional tanks, trucks, rations, spare parts, fuel, and that therefore can stay out at sea for fairly extended periods, maybe 3 months or something, and then of course your deployment can access supplies at short notice, and so that kind of capability would go a very long way to ease up the task of sustaining supplies to the forces that are deployed far away from home, and less expensive because traveling by sea. It's much cheaper than taking supplies by aeroplane. Very fast, and even then you take very limited supplies because air travel is much more expensive and more limited than if you were at sea. Some thought of this nature. And it is quite clear that for a considerable period of time, South Africa will be seized with the task of supporting missions either of the African Union or of the United Nations organization in an attempt to contribute to world peace, because this ours is a country committed to world peace and seriously so. We ours is a defensive posture, so we cannot be expected to attack any other country because we have committed ourselves to only defend ourselves if we were attacked. Otherwise, we will only support whether peace missions contributing to world peace or maintaining it.
Sorry, you mentioned that it would be some time before the Navy acquires new ships, warships. But how imminent are these other ships for sea lift capabilities?
No,
are
this is
serious consideration being given.
No, this was already could only be part of the current acquisition, because we got now 4 frigates, and the question was whether we should take another 5th warship, or whether that ship, under the same terms that had already been negotiated, could be convertible into a sea lift capability. So it's not like a new order that we would want to do, no.
So sorry, are you confirming that we are buying a frigate then?
No, in the original contract, we were offered a acquisition of a 5th corvette under the negotiated terms. The question for us was whether we should proceed. We had an option for that under the negotiated terms, whether we should proceed to acquire a warship or convert that into a sea lift under the same terms. So we haven't finalized this issue, but this is what the debate was about. Our say is not setting out to acquire, to make a new order of ships and things like that, which is what I understood the question to be about.
When you say convert the frigate into a sea lift, that doesn't mean you actually take that frigate and convert it, you change, you replace it with a ship at sea.
Yes, indeed. Instead of proceeding with that option as a frigate to convert that same one into a sea lift capability.
Minister, there being no further questions, I think that will bring these proceedings to an end. The Chief of the Navy would like to...
No, Minister, if you permit me, Minister, I just want to just share the aspect of the program for tomorrow. Admiral Todeberg, who is here with me, who is Chief Director of Maritime Strategy, is the overall coordinator of our program tomorrow. I want the members of the media to appreciate the fact that, you know, we are given a limited space to be with the President. So we are trying to combine number of elements so that the President, simultaneously, while he conducts the fleet review, he must have an opportunity to see who are the Navy, you know, in a parade. So that's why there is a review this side, and then we'll have a lunch, and then from the lunch, the President has an opportunity to address the Navy sailors. So it's the combination of the two. So we need as many people also in the parade so that the President have an opportunity to see who is the Navy. So he mustn't just see the ships at sea, but he must see the people who man our ships and submarines. If you allow me, Minister, I'll ask Admiral Treasurer to share just a few synopsis of the program for tomorrow. Benny.
Thank you very much. The proceedings tomorrow morning will start relatively early when the President is... transported by air to Simonstown. He will be ceremonially received in Simonstown at 10:00 with a national salute by a 96-person guard and a 21-gun salute. The Minister, Chief of the South African National Defence Force, General Ngwenya, and the Chief of the Navy will meet him on that occasion inside the harbour. He will board the 36-year-old survey vessel of the South African Navy, the SAS Protea, which carried the previous President Mandela on the previous fleet review in 97, as said by the Minister. We will then proceed to sea. The rest of the ships are already at sea. This morning we actually went through the whole program of the ships gathering in the northern end of False Bay. They will be proceeding in a column in a southerly direction along the coast towards Simonstown. The SAS Protea will be proceeding in a northerly direction, and as we meet up with the first ship, there will be another ceremonial event when another 21-gun salute is fired by the fleet. As each ship passes, the ship's company will man the side of the ship, and they will cheer ship. This is a normal thing that navies do. At the northern end, Protea will turn around, return to harbour, and on arrival in harbour, the guests, including the President, will proceed to Admiralty House for a luncheon, as said by my Chief of the Navy. May I also just say that at that occasion, the Chief of the Navy will present to the President of our country, to the Commander-in-Chief of the SANDF, the first copy of a new book that we are publishing on the South African Navy. We're very proud of this. It will be number one of this first edition. We will, after lunch, we will proceed to the parade ground, where we will have all shore units present. And the President will then be given the opportunity to address the South African Navy. Those ships at sea will remain at sea and will be steaming in the background, and we have arranged for a radio transmission from the parade ground to the ships at sea in order for the ships' companies on board these vessels to also hear the President speak to them. May I just indicate that we've also for the day created a radio station, Radio Navy, I can't remember exactly the frequency, and we will be giving commentary to all the people that we hope that will be sitting on the shore watching this spectacle, a joyous celebration of ships and submarines at sea. At the end of the parade, the
Commander-in-Chief will receive his final salute. He will then proceed down into the dockyard where the helicopter will then take him home. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Minister.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Bye.